Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. And we start our show today with another WEAA host and a dear friend, the host of Listen Up here on the station, Faraja Muhammad, who's also Youth Empowerment Coordinator with the American Friends Service Committee in Baltimore. Faraja, great to have you in studio.
Thank you so much, Mark.
How are you, brother? Good to see you.
You too.
And along with him is Mika Downing in studio. She's a student here at Morgan State University. Mika, welcome. Good to meet you.
Thank you.
And Avery Harmon joins us by phone. He's a student at Loyola University. And Avery, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And y'all can join us at 410-319-8888. You can log on to our Facebook pages. Write us at talkatsteinershow.org. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. But please, call in if you can, 410-319-8888. So, Faraji?
Yes.
Demonstration taking place tomorrow.
Major. We're very excited.
What's happening?
It's the National Day of Action against police brutality and police militarization. And this demonstration is happening in Baltimore, Mark, and in many other cities across the United States. As we talk about the issue of police brutality and militarization, of course, there's been a lot of demonstration, a lot of passion behind this movement. And so we're at a point in Baltimore, we're at a point in Baltimore where we're finding that young people are not just in the forefront, but young people are also involved in the organizing of these demonstrations. And at this point, we're also seeing that there is a general discontent between the community and the police department, particularly the black community. And so our efforts is going to be going to three things. One is that we're planning to go to Annapolis to lobby for better reforms in police and law enforcement policies. Two, we're going to be hosting a rally here in Baltimore in front of the Department of Justice at the U.S. Attorney's Office on South Charles Street. And then the last part is we're going to have a panel discussion at the Real News Network where we're going to strategize about ways that we can address these this issue as well as other issues that stem from it.
So, Mika, talk about your involvement.
I'm an intern with AFSC, and I work directly with Faraji. Basically, what my part in organizing all of this is to bring the college students together to make sure that colleges are activated as far as getting involved in the movement, ready to take action, and we want to kind of guide them along the right path, so that it's not just organized chaos or anger in the wrong place when they take place when they do these rallies, and we just kind of want to bring them together, give them a nice place to. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. Everything's all right.
give them a place where they can come together, gather, get their thoughts together, decide what they want to rally about, what they're upset about, what they want to change, and we support them. We're the support. We help them get things done that they want to get done. If they want to march, we're there to support, and they're going to be here to support us as well when we do our march in Annapolis.
And Avery, what's the tenor of these things on your campus at Loyola?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, what's the tenor of all this, the movement and the sense of what's going on your campus at Loyola?
The tenor, well, since the protest, right after the protest, we went on break, which is one of the issues that we noticed. We didn't get much time to discuss the next steps that we're going to take after the protest. But I think what we've been looking forward to is getting the school to actually comment on these sort of issues that have been happening, like Michael Brown or Tamir Rice, because at the moment our students or our campus is pretty silent, and we just want these issues to be brought to the light and for more students to not only know about them but actively engage them in their classroom, among their peers and with professors.
So, were you about to say something?
No, go ahead.
So, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about, you guys are going to be marching so you can be heard in Annapolis.
Yeah.
Right? And I think this is going to become a huge issue on the legislative floor.
Hope so.
This session, though. Yeah. Whole issue of they're going to talk about police cameras and rewriting the Police Bill of Rights, and that battle is going to take place.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be a huge battle because the police unions are a very powerful union, a group
yes.
of unions.
Yes.
You saw that the Baltimore County Fraternal Order of Police went on the offensive over the 911 operator who
Absolutely.
Was on this program the other week. And made some pretty outlandish comments, and the same here in Baltimore City. So I'm curious what the strategies are to kind of what you all thinking about how you confront that and convincing legislators that something has to change, because I'm sure among a lot of legislators there's widespread of opinion that police should be supported no matter what.
Yeah, and I mean, that's unfortunately, Mark, you're right in that regard. But we are working. There are some legislators that are looking to allies or looking for that community support. I mean, we're talking about such widespread issues, and not just issues that affect it really affects the very nature of what we're talking about, protection and serving. And so when you're talking of having a conversation about what role does the police should play in the community, at this point, we need to see that the role that they're not playing in the community is with, especially with the black community, but with all communities, is that it shows that there is a huge bias, there's a huge level of intolerance, there's a huge level of mistrust that's existing there. So at this same, at this point, you know, we either could say, well, let folks that are on this part of the city deal with that and we're okay over that. No, it's a threat. You know, Dr. King said an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. And so it's a threat everywhere. My hope is, and, you know, we're working with various churches, you know, Pastor Heber Brown III of Pleasant Hope Baptist Church and many other church folks. And then we have community organizations that we're working with and in a coalition. We're saying the power of our community dictates the agenda. It's not, well, what does the legislators want? It's like, no, what do we put you in office to represent?
Right.
So our interests are going to be backed by a unified force from all blocks of the community, from those who are most disenfranchised, which are young people, to those who are most active, which are the older residents of the community, from not just Baltimore City, Mark, but from Prince George's County and Arundel County and from other places around the state. And we're coming together and we're saying, you know what, enough is enough. Something needs to be done.
So I'm curious, Mika, but both Mika and Avery. But Mika, I mean, what you expect out of this? I mean, what you want to see out of this? And I'm curious what your own experiences are with all of this.
I've had a lot of experiences. When we did a action down at Towson Mall, I was surprised to get...
You were part of that?
Yes, I was. I was a part of that. I was surprised to get as many middle fingers as we got, you know, by passerbyers. And I was also surprised by how many people came out of the crowd and said, I will stand with you and rally with you.
It was white and black?
Yeah, white, black. We had an older white gentleman just come up and he was just looking like, hey, I want to join you. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. Here's a sign. You know, he was more than willing. And he was with a Catholic church downtown. I can't remember the name. But I expect for people to see that Baltimore is ready for a change, that we are tired. We are sick. We're tired of being sick and tired, mm-hmm. that we are ready for a change, particularly students, because this is basically a college town. People here are harassed.
People don't realize, well, we are a college town.
We are a college town.
That's right, that's
and
right.
Our students here at Morgan, we're harassed just as much as just any other person on the street. And we're tired of it. We're ready for a change. We want to see that. And we want to show them that we're taking a stand and we're going to continue to do this until we see a difference in the way we're treated by police and how they treat the civilians of Baltimore and such like that.
Avery?
Oh, yeah. So I have fairly limited experience with these type of things. The first sort of rally event or march I went to was at Morgan State the day after the Mike Brown verdict.
Right.
And I thought it was great to see, even though some people complain about the lack of students in attendance, I thought it was great to see students who cared at all, because at my university, nothing was really going on. And I was also impressed to see how they challenged their president, the president of their university. I feel like sometimes students feel intimidated to speak out against certain things. They think it'll be too disruptive of the system, and so they rather sit back. Now, I know that there's a right way of going and proceeding and doing all these things, and I haven't organized one before, so I understand we need to take precautions when we're trying to speak with other administrators. But we did get his attention, and although I wasn't able to attend the march, I believe people said that he did march with us. So that was really great to hear about. And what I think people want to see, I attended a couple of the meetings where they were speaking about the legislation that they would be trying to pass in Annapolis. One was a criminal justice public hearing where there was a few delegates, the police officers, and a few community members were able to talk about their grievances with the police. And this was the first type of event I've been to, and it was just interesting to hear how similar but also varied people's feelings were and ideas about how to change the system. But overall, I just feel that people believe that we should have a better relationship with the officers so we can have a stronger community here in Baltimore.
So, Faraji, I mean, I one of the things people talk about how to put teeth in some of this, and people have talked about police wearing cameras. Of course, there were cameras taken when Eric Garner was killed by the police in New York City. It didn't stop anything from happening. Some people are calling that we need something even stronger, like a civilian review board that actually has the power and teeth to investigate, to indict, or to exonerate.
Yep.
You know, and to hire and fire.
I agree with that. And I think that, so many folks want this type of, very drastic and dramatic change to happen. And it takes small changes first. And, you and I both understand that. We need winnable victories at this point. The police camera issue, I was enlightened by my regional director, Kamal Franklin. He mentioned that, down the line that piece of evidence or footage does play a huge part in the federal government's prosecution of certain officers, as it did in the Rodney King trial that many people may not know about. Those officers were prosecuted once that was a part of the evidence. But when you're talking about making those systemic changes, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that we can't just tear down the whole system and then at the same time not have something to replace it with. I mean, we have to look at what are some of the alternatives. And I think that if we could do some change from whether it's the Bill of Rights or whether we're talking about, the body cam issue, then we should also be looking further into community policing and what role can the community play. It's not just on the – and here's the thing about this, Mark. We have a hashtag called WWMLKD, What Would Martin Luther King Do? He was one of the greatest advocates for peace and justice in our country and probably internationally. And one of the things that he often talked about is going back to the base, which are poor people, the heart and the minds and the spirits of the people. And that's where we have to really start. There's no great change, whether it's systemically, whether it's legislatively, whether it's in any institution, unless the people themselves are behind this idea, unless the people are going to be powering this change. So just as much as this is a campaign about making sure that we get the police and the policies and all of that, police are essentially people. They're going to make just decisions based upon their judgments, their upbringing, their experiences. And so we have to change and get people to think differently from their own perspective and say, look, is this right? Is this good? And at the same time, is this beneficial for us? And if you can't say, well, if you say no, 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 then that's where the conversation should start for the community. It should not start at whether you agree with the police department or not. It should start with the truth. It should start with justice, and most importantly, it should start with whether this is really good for our city and for our community.
I wonder if Avery and Mika, are you shocked or pleasantly surprised at the kind of amount of activism you see coming from your campuses?
Me first?
Yeah, go ahead, Mika.
I was very surprised at our very, very first event here at Morgan.
Yeah.
We had about, what was that, Faraji, like 100 students come out?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I had to leave before everyone sat out in the middle of Cold Spring?
Yeah, Cold Spring and Hillen.
Yeah, Cold Spring and Hillen. But when I saw the pictures, I was just like, oh my goodness. We marched, we were out there, we discussed some things, but I didn't expect them to actually continue to have the drive to do something like that. I heard they walked, downtown?
Yeah.
I would have never expected that because the attitudes on campus sometimes do not reflect that they care about these type of things. It's... maybe the attire. Sometimes college campuses do not always show how they feel based on their clothing,
right,
what they're listening to, what they're doing. So I was very surprised, and I was very proud of my campus. I don't know about Loyola.
Very quickly, everybody, Loyola, we're just about out of time. I want to come back to make sure folks know where to go tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. So they got our Facebook page, Day of Action Baltimore. And then also we have a Facebook page for the March on Annapolis. You can certainly find us there. Just give me a call, 240-707-0384 for more information, 240-707-0384. We're going to continue to put out a flood of information online, of course.
But this is tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, the kickoff, we have buses leaving from Mondawmin and Alameda at 8:30.
To go to Annapolis?
Yep, going to Annapolis. It's going to be down there about 10 o'clock from 10 to 12. And then at 3:30 to 4:30, join us at the Baltimore rally at the U.S. Attorney's Office right there at Charles and some in Lombard Street. And then at 5:30, come on over to the Real News Network and be a part of that conversation. And let's strategize. But, this is a protracted campaign. You mentioned it, Mark. It's not going to be a one-shot deal. We got people within our coalition, very, very bright young minds that are going to be in and out of Annapolis over the next 90 days. So Annapolis, here we come. We're about to rock and roll.
And we've had two of those young minds with us here today. Absolutely. On this program. Mika Downing, who is a student here at Morgan State University. What year are you in?
I'm a senior.
A senior, mm-hmm. All right. And Avery Harmon at Loyola, University of Maryland. And what year are you in, Avery?
I'm also a senior.
All right, good. Who is an active member of the BSU, the Black Student Union at Loyola. I mentioned that as well. So thank the three of you for being on.
Thank you, Mark.
And we'll put the information on our website.
Appreciate
get out there and have your voices be heard.
Thank you.
Good to have the three of you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On our way to break, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community to prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. Belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com or go to steinershow.org for MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. And on our way to break, they will be Hell to Pay by T-Bone Burnett. Joseph Harry T-Bone Burnett, the great country singer, born on this day in 1948. When all the ladies heard that he was dead, some wore black dresses and some